21. Negotiate while advancing. The diplomatic war strategy. People will always try to take from you in negotiations what they could not get from you in battle or direct confrontations. They will even use appeals to fairness and morality as a cover to advance their position. Do not be taken in. Negotiation is about maneuvering for power or placement, and you must always put yourself in the kind of strong position that makes it impossible for the other side to nibble away at you during your talks. Before and during negotiations, you must keep advancing, creating relentless pressure and compelling the other side to settle on your terms. The more you take, the more you can give back in meaningless concessions. Create a reputation for being tough and uncompromising so that people are back on their heels before they even meet you. War by other means. After Athens was finally defeated by Sparta in the Peloponnesian War of 404 BC, the great city-state fell into steady decline. In the decades that followed, many citizens, including the great orator Demosthenes, began to dream of a revival of the once dominant Athens. In 359 BC, the king of Macedonia, Perdiccas, was killed in battle, and a power struggle emerged for his succession. The Athenians saw Macedonia as a barbaric land to the north, its only importance, its proximity to Athenian outposts that helped secure their supplies of corn from Asia and of gold from local mines. One such outpost was the city of Amphipolis, a former Athenian colony, which, however, had lately fallen into Macedonian hands. A plan emerged among the politicians of Athens to support one of the claimants to the Macedonian throne, a man named Argios, with ships and soldiers. If he won, he would be indebted to Athens and would return to them the valuable city of Amphipolis. Unfortunately, the Athenians backed the wrong horse. Perdiccas's 24-year-old brother Philip easily defeated Argios in battle and became king. To the Athenians' surprise, however, Philip did not push his advantage, but stepped back, renouncing all claim to Amphipolis and making the city independent. He also released, without ransom, all the Athenian soldiers he had captured in battle. He even discussed forming an alliance with Athens, his recent enemy, and in secret negotiations proposed to reconquer Amphipolis in a few years and deliver it to Athens in exchange for another city still under Athenian control, an offer too good to refuse. The Athenian delegates at the talks reported that Philip was an amiable sort, and that beneath his rude exterior, he was clearly an admirer of Athenian culture. Indeed, he invited Athens' most renowned philosophers and artists to reside in his capital. Overnight, it seemed, the Athenians had gained an important ally to the north. Philip set about fighting barbaric tribes on other borders, and peace ruled between the two powers. A few years later, as Athens was racked by an internal power struggle of its own, Philip marched on and captured Amphipolis. Following their agreement, the Athenians dispatched envoys to negotiate, only to find, to their surprise, that Philip no longer offered them the city, but merely made vague promises for the future. Distracted by their problems at home, the envoys had no choice but to accept this. Now, with Amphipolis securely under his control, Philip had unlimited access to the gold mines and rich forests in the area. It seemed that he had been playing them all along. Now Demosthenes came forward to rail against the duplicitous Philip and warn of the danger he posed to all of Greece. Urging the citizens of Athens to raise an army to meet the threat, the orator recalled their victories in the past over other tyrants. Nothing happened then, but a few years later, when Philip maneuvered to take the pass at Thermopylae, the narrow gateway that controlled movement from central to southern Greece, Athens indeed sent an army to defend it. Philip retreated, and the Athenians congratulated themselves on their victory.